everybody. Welcome back. I'm Katie.
I'm JC, and that's on Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. So we are going to be talking about this series today. I've seen both season one and season two. Katie has seen a couple episodes, and we're going to talk about what we thought of the show and a couple facts behind the show. So I can go ahead and like get the facts out of the way, and then we can talk a little bit more about the premise and the episodes and what we liked and didn't like and all that jazz.
I was going to say, if you want me to read the Wikipedia, I have that up.
Well, I have mine up here because I don't, I like to type up my own.
You're good. Go for it.
All right. So Moon Girl Devil Dinosaur, it's based on a comic by the same name. And at some point, a person who was a writer for Disney showed the comic to Lawrence Fishburne. And he liked the show a lot. He's really big on representation for Black people, particularly like younger Black people, and just kind of showing them that you can do whatever you want, essentially. So he started getting people on the project for it, and eventually they decided to pitch it to Disney. It was picked up pretty quickly, and they announced it on in February in 2018. And then it premiered in 2023. That was in February as well. Black History Month. Are we seeing what's happening here? Oh my gosh! Yes.
I get it. I see what they did there. They did that. They
is did this that
intentionally.
Yeah. So the show currently has two seasons. They might do a third. As we know, like animated shows, they're taking a hit right now. So especially animated shows that feature a lot of diversity, which is like heavily what Moon Girl is about. So yeah, we'll see if they pick up another one and if they'll keep doing it. But yeah, so far they had two successful seasons. And yeah, so the show itself, it's about this girl named Lunella. And she lives in the Lower East Side of New York. And she has to deal with a lot of baddies down there, mainly because the Avengers don't go to the Lower East Side. They don't go down there. So it leaves it open to a lot of people attempting to infiltrate the neighborhood in various ways.
So I guess a good thing to keep in mind for me then, or future watchers of the show, is that we're in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so a big red Tyrannosaurus Rex living in New York City, not really that weird or exceptional for the area, because, you know, there's the Hulk and Captain America and stuff.
Yeah, they've seen
in this.
This is definitely taking place after the snap, and after Sam becomes Captain America, and after WandaVision. This is all taking place after those events. So if you've seen those series, then you know where we're at, essentially.
And I haven't, because me and superheroes are not the greatest friends. So don't anybody hate me for it.
Like, I understand that the Marvel Cinematic Universe in so many ways is propaganda, but I can't even get her into the shows that are happening now because it's not good propaganda anymore. I can't even be like, watch this. She's not going to watch it.
No, we're getting very patriotic in that front. And, but
yeah.
Okay. So we're getting into, Lunella. She lives in the East Side, Lower East Side in New York City. She finds a red Tyrannosaurus.
She does not find a red Tyrannosaurus.
Well, how else would you describe that? She opened a portal and he stepped out. Yeah. Like,
Lunella is super smart, so she learned a program from like this woman that's called Moon Girls, the scientist who disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to her, but they Lunella decided to make a portal that Moon Girl had started on. So she starts on the portal. It goes really, really well. And she opens it to another dimension with a Tyrannosaurus Rex coming through the portal. And he has a really extended name that's absolutely silly. But they shorten it down to Devil. So that's what happens. He doesn't find him on the side of the road.
Thank you. That was a much better better description.
Yeah, that's what happens. So the reason why Lunella is working on this portal and stuff like it is because, number one, there's a bunch of baddies in the city. And number two, in this particular episode, there is somebody going around stealing electricity. And she's just trying to find a way to combat them. So that's why she's working on all these different experiments anyway. So she draws out the T-Rex. She figures she'll find a way to send him back. But until then, she keeps him around. And she's just like, I could be a hero with this dinosaur right here. We could be friends and we could be heroes. So that's what they do. And then in walks Casey, her best friend, or to-be best friend. And Casey's just like, I could be your media manager. I could do all the media stuff and advertise and stuff like that. And she's like, okay, cool. So they work on that. They work on advertising.
I think that's the other part where it gets like into the, oh, this makes me feel a little weird, is that when stuff like this happens in this universe and it's kids, the kids immediately just become like tiny adults and they're just like, yep, I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want because I have a big red dinosaur.
Mention of disbelief. Come on, Katie, let's go with it. So yeah, she works with Devil, and then they end up defeating the electromagnetic bad person. And Luna, at one point, tries to send Devil back. He comes back through the portal, and that's his last shot at being able to, like, stay in his own world. And he's just like, I don't want to stay there. I want to stay with you guys, which is understandable. He took a liking to hot dogs, number one. And then he also, living there, especially in a version of New York where they're not as bothered by seeing a gigantic T-Rex, if I was a dinosaur, I would just stay there. I wouldn't want to go back. I'd be like,
you would stay in New York?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Think about it.
Just be used by a little girl.
Used by him. She asked. There was a consent factor there. And he said, yeah, sure, why not? Doing anything else.
I mean, I don't know if it was just maybe the episodes that I watched, but he did talk from what I could see.
Yeah, she understood him. In the first episode, at some point, she learns to kind of understand and read him a little bit. Lulu, she speaks dino, crazy. So, that's basically how the first episode wraps up. All of the little contrived story points that we would normally see like 4 or 5 episodes of, they wrap it up in this one episode and they keep it moving. And that's the premise of this show. Minor sidetrack, the voice cast is excellent in my opinion. There are no fake New York accents and I appreciate that so much. I hate it when people try to put on a fake New York accent. Like, either pick someone off the street in New York or just don't do it. it's just not right. The art direction, absolutely lovely. What'd you think of the art? Because it's very abstract.
All right. I do like graphic novels. I'll say that. But I definitely don't like read manga or anything like that. My actual knowledge of comics is pretty low. But I was also saying to JC before we got started that the art does, for me, resemble the Proud Family, where, like, sometimes your background items are in focus. Like, we see when she's in the hair episode where she's sitting on her bed and you can see her bed like in detail, but the rest of the setting is kind of a monochromatic bluish purple. I did think it was pretty.
It is very pretty.
I will say that. And it's definitely, for me, ranks in the kids shows that I would let my kids watch, but I probably wouldn't watch with them. Whereas there are other shows that, yeah, I'll definitely watch that with you.
Yeah,
so I feel like that with the art.
This show is 8+, for those who don't know. 8 years old up. I did like the artwork for the same reason. It does remind me of a comic book. There's a lot of unnecessary line work that just is there because it looks pretty. And there are also a lot of still shots, which tells you, which should be a like clear hint to a lot of people that they were either imitating a comic or this came from a comic. Because there will be entire moments or like 1 or 2, even up to 5 seconds of just like nobody in the shot quite moving. And then one of the characters will start moving and doing something. And it looks really cool to me. And I didn't consider that it looks so much like the Proud Family until Katie said it. It's pretty similar to that. I haven't seen the Proud Family.
Not to say I didn't enjoy the Proud Family, because I did. I watched that show for years. It was great.
Oh, no. That it's just like, you're right, it's pretty similar to it. Yeah. What else? The color palette is also awesome. I'm about to get some custom nails done for myself. I'm gonna get Moon Grown Devil Dinosaur with those colors, because they're so awesome. They're so bright and fun. What the episodes also have musical numbers. Sometimes they're extended, sometimes they're a little shorter. And it's a wide variety of music. The first couple episodes, they stick to hip hop a little bit. They're trying to ground you in the setting more. And then as it goes on, you hear all different kinds of songs in there. And, sometimes they clash a little bit with, the art direction and how they move the characters in the scene. But overall, it does look very, very good. It looks very fun, and it really conveys whatever they're trying to get across in each episode. So I'm going to talk about some of the episodes briefly. One of the episodes I want to talk about is, which one? Let's do The Beyonder. Did you see The Beyonder? Is that one of the ones you saw?
I did not. I watched the Moon Girl Landing, the Burrow Bully, and Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow.
And Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow. Okay, that's all right, because I've seen all the episodes. So we can talk about Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow. Let's do that.
I did really like this episode. And for some reason, the storyline was also vaguely similar, I feel like, to something else that I watched when I was a kid, but I still can't pinpoint like where it was or what the other
hair
thing was. No, but it just felt like a deja vu a little bit, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. There's, yeah, in shows where Black people are featured, there's almost always a hair episode, and that's because hair is so important to us. And not just because of like how we're treated because of our hair, but because of how Black people identify with our hair. A big thing in Black culture is your hair being a literal part of who you are. So like your decision to cut it or somebody cutting it for you, to some Black people, it feels like losing a limb. And that's heavily emphasized in this episode. They keep saying, like, your hair is a part of you. If you love your hair, you love yourself. And that's so real. That's such a real thing. A lot of women and girls.
I just want to throw it out there, too, that we were talking about the voice actors that participate in this show. And the hair itself is Jennifer Hudson.
I know.
which I recognized immediately. As soon as I started talking, I was like, that's Jennifer Hudson.
But I was going to say that a lot of women and girls in the Black community who cut their hair, a lot of them are immediately seen as subversive. And some people even will even get angry at them because, like, you cut your limb. Like, you cut a part of yourself off.
I'm making a face. I scrunched my nose. But I don't like that. And I don't. So hair culture, I feel like, for most white people.
Mm-hmm.
Is one extreme or the other. It either they do a lot to their hair all the time, or they just do nothing. yeah.
It is definitely not that for Black people.
No. And I definitely have learned that over the years anyways. But I think I watched a documentary a few years ago that was The One Who Got Slapped by Will Smith.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
No, like at the award show.
Oh, Chris
Rock?
Yeah, him.
Is that Chris Rock? Okay.
It was him.
I think it was voiced by Chris Rock. And it was called Hair, and it just kind of chronicled, like, the history of African-American hairstyles and how not great it necessarily can be for people of color in this country to be able to manage their own hair, which seems contradictory to the way that things should be, in my opinion.
Absolutely. So let's focus in on the episode. We went off on a tangent.
Sorry.
There.
Yeah, we do that. Sometimes I cut them out and sometimes I don't, but.
So Lunella, what she's in school, she has her puffs. That's her style. And a classmate like makes a comment that she thinks her hair is messy. And she's like, oh, but that's what you're going for. Like, it's very passive aggressive. And at that moment, Lunella starts to doubt the way that her hair looks. And so she starts talking to Casey about it. And Casey keeps saying, like, your hair's fine. It's fine. Obviously, she's not listening because she's feeling really insecure at the moment. So she decides to make her hair straight like Casey's. And she creates an at-home perm. Which, if there's any Black person listening who has ever created an at-home perm or used an at-home perm and you messed up, you know, you know what's about to happen in the episode. So she creates one. She does not create a neutralizer, and her hair falls out. Her hair falls out. So she has to wear a wig that Casey has. What's the name of that wig? I keep forgetting, like Charmaine or something like that.
Oh no, Sheba.
Sheba, that's what it is.
Yeah, I knew it would come to me.
Yeah. But the hair that fell out, because of Lunella is just a genius. She just got it like that. Turns out her perm made the hair sentient. And the hair's really, really mad that Lunella tried to manipulate her. And also, Lunella's in that phase where she wasn't really trying hard to take care of her hair anyway. So the hair's, like, pissed off. Like, every Black girl has gone through that phase where because your hair, it takes so much effort to make it socially acceptable that you just don't really want to do anything to it. And that's kind of where Lunella is. She doesn't put her bonnet on. She doesn't really brush it out the way she's supposed to. All that stuff. So the hair's mad. The hair's mad, and the hair starts finding ways to get back at Lunella. She messes up a science project and all that stuff. And eventually, Lunella is able to confront the hair, and then she realizes that she shouldn't be confronting the hair. She should be accepting her hair as it is. So that's what she tells her sentient hair, who happens to sound like Jennifer Hudson, that she should be loving the hair. It's a part of her. And the hair comes back and it's good. And she has her puffballs back out. She hasn't tried to straighten it. And that's how the episode goes. It's a good episode. I like it.
I thought it was, there were definitely some moments that were like hilarious and really funny. I did have kind of that feeling because the other kind of crux in the episode is that it's picture day. Like picture day is coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's picture day.
And she also like doesn't want to be seen without a wig or something on her head, except for when she shows Casey.
Right.
And I think in society, it is better to show little girls that like we don't need to hide things, especially from your adults in your household, because they could probably help you.
Yeah, they probably could, but
yeah,
there's a level of embarrassment that comes there too, so I'm just like, I don't like that you hid it, but I understand why you were just like, oh, I can't talk to them, I broke off my own hair.
Right. And like, I get the embarrassment part, I really do, but like there was one time when I was in high school and I wanted to dye my hair pink, and my hair's naturally very blonde, and the hair came out orange, and I was very upset at myself.
Yeah. And
I tried to fix it, but then realized that if I did a little bit more to it, it was, my hair was not going to be in good shape. Yeah. Put it that way. So I had to dye it dark and just color over it and live with that mistake. And I tried to hide it from my dad for like, it only worked for like a day, because and then he was like, take your hood off. We're inside. Take your hood off.
Hers only worked for like a day too, because she uh-huh. messed with it. And then she came in the kitchen with the hat on, and I was like, at some point she's either going to take the hat off or they're going to tell her to take the hat off.
Right. Yeah. And like that. So I get that initial, like wanting to hide it and being embarrassed and stuff like that. But really, once mine got found out, my sister came over and worked on it.
Yeah. And
tried to fix it, you know. Was yeah. helpful.
And they end up convincing Luna, like speaking to her family and showing them what happened to her hair. Talking to them, they end up convincing her to accept her hair. Like, so yeah. It wasn't who came to the conclusion there. But that was a really good episode. I liked it. I liked what it had to say about black hair. I also liked the different styles that we saw Lunella have throughout the years. And as we hit season 2, she ends up choosing another style. I think she turns 14 in season 2, so she picks another one. So yeah, that is Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow. Really nice one. The next episode, you watched the bully episode, didn't you?
Yeah, the Burrow Bully.
Burrow Bully.
I mean,
yeah. So Lunella is fighting crime, and as she's fighting crime, she ends up running into a kid who has a stand set up, and accidentally she ends up messing up the stand, but she doesn't really say anything in regards to it, and the kid is really, really annoyed by it. So he ends up kind of harassing her online, making jokes and stuff like that. And you look like you want to say something. What's up?
And then there's the imagery that ended up happening. I know you're going to get to it, though.
The imagery?
I stop myself. What the bully turns into.
Oh, yes. The bully turns into a very very, very large, heavy-set alien creature type thing. Looks very, very gross. Looks like the, stereotype of a incel, almost. Very mean, always laughing, like, very grossly. And the imagery in this show is actually very interesting. It's doing something that a lot of kids' shows haven't done in a while, which is, like, to show images that kind of come off grotesque, but to the level at which that I believe they assume kids can handle it because of all the bright colors and what's happening and stuff. If these were live action images, they would probably not be as intense as they are, is what I'm trying to say. I don't quite know how I feel about that one, about the choice to make him look like that.
They even call him an internet troll.
They do. Okay.
Yeah.
Established. Okay.
It's fair. Like, yes, it's exactly what those people are. Yeah. And they'll like need to put down every single thing that someone says or does. But I think it also, from my point of view, as someone who does not consistently partake in Marvel Cinematic Universe content, it's like the way that I tend to feel about Marvel stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Because I would not consider myself a troll. I'm not. I don't really put anything out on the internet that's like bad or hurtful or anything like that. But I think that ultimately the criticism of everything someone says or someone does is more indicative of people who like consume the content.
Oh yeah.
If that makes sense. Like,
yeah, like reflective of those people who are claim to be Marvel fans but are so intolerant of everything that's taking place.
Right. Yeah. And like the only other area where I kind of see this is with like Star Wars. And things will come out and people will instantly argue and they'll be upset with how they did things or how this was shot or who they cast for that or, you know, the landscape for this one or whatever. And yet they still consume the content. They're still going to keep watching Star Wars. They're still going to keep watching Marvel.
Oh my goodness. That was the same with Percy Jackson as well.
Yeah.
The amount of people on, like, I was heavy on TikTok at that point, and the amount of people that were just saying, this show is terrible, and they were giving a play-by-play as to why it was terrible. I'm like, so you did watch episode 7. Like, because
yeah,
exactly what happened, and you're recalling so many details, you probably watched it more than once.
Right.
So you know what's going on. Okay. Little low-key fan. All
right. Right.
Like, but, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's the need to call out everything, but at the same time, you're still consuming it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that ultimately, like, you don't want to empathize with the bully. You don't want to see yourself on the side of the bully. But I think the way that the show is shot also has a big to do with what you're paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to try to pick out the not main points that they're trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
Because it also feels like the show is going to critique those people and push back, being like, no, we are good. Like, what does Casey say to her?
I don't remember.
So she's like, she says something.
Yeah, sorry. It's, I can't remember, but I understand the point you're
about
saying.
About how, like, you don't need to listen to them, and, it's just trying to make you upset, and all this other stuff. I was trying to I have the episode up, I was trying to, like, fast forward it, but it won't show me the subtitles.
Oh, yeah.
I do love
it becomes kind of upset.
She tells Casey that she's her favorite person, and then Casey says, I'm my favorite, too.
I love that girl.
Yeah, I do really like the characters. Like I said, I think they're funny. I definitely was laughing throughout a couple of the episodes.
Yeah. So that's the bully episode. She ends up she ends up speaking to the kid who she wronged initially and didn't realize it. And they come to a good agreement. She ends up helping him with his stand. And all's forgiven on that front. And he stops trolling her, so she forgives him on that front. And it's a good outcome, better than what I think a lot of us would want while interacting on the internet. Because
the body who's really trying
to troll you is not going to treat you correctly online.
They pull in the alien thing too, which I always think is kind of funny for them to really push aliens in like everything they're in.
Have to. Mm-hmm. Speaking of aliens, I'm going to go ahead and talk about The Beyonder. I know you haven't seen it, but I just want to talk about that episode because
that is the third one, though, isn't it? I think I watched like half of it.
Third one, yes. It's when you have this character come in who is from another universe. He's incredibly powerful, and essentially he was acting up amongst his own. So they like sent him out, and they were just like, go survey Earth, figure out learn things on Earth is his big thing. Learn about Earth. So he comes, he tries to learn about Earth from Lunella. She's 13 years old, so he doesn't really learn that much. And eventually he decides, because Lunella is ranting about her to-be friend. At this point, they're not exactly friends, Eduardo. Because they have a project together, and Eduardo is easily distracted, and his sole focus is like music. Lunella doesn't know what to do with that. She thinks she has a better idea, and she's annoyed that Eduardo isn't like following her ideas the way that she would like. So she starts ranting about him to the Beyonder, and the Beyonder is like, oh yeah, useless, useless. You're right. This world is useless. Thank you for helping me decide whether or not I should destroy the entire planet. And Luna's like, what? Wait a minute. So she has to spend the rest of the episode proving why Earth needs to stick around. And kind of using Eduardo as an example. She gets back on good terms with Eduardo because he's easily distracted, but that doesn't mean he's stupid. He can pick up on the fact that she's not thinking much of him at the moment, and he gets upset, and she has to go back and get him back in her good graces. And in his good graces, I mean, she has to get back in his good graces. They end up doing a pretty good job on the project. And through that, the Beyonder is like, okay, I'm not going to destroy the planet now. So we know he's going to hang around. I like the Beyonder a lot, actually. But more so...
I got through, like, the first two music acts in it.
Yeah.
And those are pretty good. I like those. My daughter likes them. I can see why she likes the show.
Yeah.
Not just the animation style, but, like, she is obsessed with music in anything. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's why we're going through a Wonka phase, I feel like. But all the music kind of carries the story and makes it pretty entertaining for kids also.
It does.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. I'm really interested in the reasons why we tend to always have episodes like this in shows that work the way Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur 2. There's always this episode about this like outside force that's going to come and decide the fate of humanity. And somehow Homo sapiens are able to convince them to not like destroy everything. It throws me off because I'm like, if that were to happen in real life, there is no way that we would be able to convince, hey, we deserve to stay here. And they'd just be like, no, you don't. Planet gone. Ugh.
They would just push a button and just be like, girl, bye.
Button. They would. But yeah, I've always been interested in episodes like that. Why we just or the reasons why we have this like existential fear of what's in the universe and how it can affect us. And it plays out in our shows to this degree, especially our animated shows. It's all over our animated shows, whether it's for adults or kids. So yeah, that's the episode with the Beyonder. He's a fabulous character. He's absolutely fabulous. It's giving androgynous. I don't know how they refer to him. If it is him or if it's them, I should probably look that up, actually.
Where I have it paused, Casey says, do whatever this magical creature says.
It's like a they, them, don't have a pronoun.
Yeah.
Type. Okay. They don't really have pronouns. Okay. But yeah, Beyonder's like with the like the super bright blue hair and the white suit, and just it's giving like, oh my god, sis, what are you doing? Like, and I love that so much. And then Lunella's just like, huh, what are you doing here? Because his powers are ridiculous. He's so overpowered, but he's not necessarily a superhero in any way. So
you know. Yeah. We were talking about the still shots a little bit ago, mm-hmm. and the kind of built-in commercials that Disney has.
Yeah.
I think what also me as somebody who's not really into superheroes, it calls back to more like Adam West Batman, where you would have those shots where they would just like, turn the image,
yeah,
and play that little song. So I do like, yeah, I do like that because it definitely like clicks that dopamine button in my brain of like, oh, this is a little tiny bit similar to something that you do like.
Well, yeah, so that's all I have to say about the Beyonder. What about you, Katie? Anything else you want to say?
I didn't really get the overarching responsibility of the roller rink. I guess, I don't know. Because the other ones that I watched were 3 and 4.
Oh, what's the significance of the roller rink?
No, like, I know that they own it. I know it's theirs. They're running it.
Yeah.
But the girls, like, they're young, and we're, like, putting them in charge of stuff, which I get is a thing.
Well, you did see more than one, because you're talking about the one where they run the ring.
Yes.
I think it's literally called Run the Ring.
Yes.
And then you did watch more than that. Okay.
Well, like I said, I just started it from the beginning. Watched the first one, and then you had already said to watch the hair one.
Mm-hmm.
But by then, we were already on to the fourth one.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, ah, it's fine. We'll just keep watching it.
All I gotta say is TV magic. Like, that's just, they want to put the kids in a hijinks scenario. They're going to put them in a roller rink and be like, run this. And they'll be like, okay. Like, that would never happen in real life, but the conflict needed to go somewhere. This is an anime.
Do you feel like, because I know that Oh My God issue number one was on there, on the list that you gave me. Do you feel like that needed to be a two-part episode?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was kind of wondering that, because the first episode was 47 minutes. And so my brain was kind of like, why didn't they just make the last episode 47 minutes?
Yeah. Had they kept where they left that episode off, made so much sense. It was very obvious that it was just going, 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 going. They needed a stopping point somewhere. So yeah, they put a scene in there, and it's a perfect transition to Oh My God Part 2. So yeah, I don't have any complaints there. Also, I wasn't looking at the time, just because hair practices. I was just doing my hair.
That's okay.
So I wasn't.
I just I think it's a cute show. I think the kids definitely like it. I, as somebody who doesn't typically like Marvel, it's easier for me to digest on these levels. I think that's the same reason why I can watch that Spidey and his friends show.
Yeah, that's a cute show too.
Which is a little below the age group we normally talk about, but I will probably continue to watch this with my daughter because she likes it. Like I said, I think that there would be some themes that happen within the family that I would have to kind of be like, okay, but this is a fiction, and she does not really... You can't do that just because you have seen Moon Girl do it.
You think because, like, Piper can be kind of literal that needs to be kind of reiterated?
Yeah, and, like, we had this problem when we watched The Miraculous Ladybug also. Which I know is not Marvel, but she was really into that for a while. And, yeah. Like, trying to do cartwheels and backflips all over the place.
Stop.
Please, you're going to injure yourself.
Now, there's one more episode that I want to talk about for the sake of this podcast. It's like Mother, like Moon Girl. And I really like that episode. I just wanted to speak to it in case anybody is listening and in case they're considering watching the show. This is an episode where Lunella's mother, not only does she help run the roller rink with her parents, but she's also a community builder. And her mom likes to host big block parties, which, of course, is an excellent way to community build and to network and to just be around other people. During this time, like, you have these two, like, kind of tech investors. They're a couple, and they're just obsessed with making everything better. So you kind of get that this is going toward the gentrification kind of... Like, this is going to speak to that. And because they're inventors, Lunella is just like, oh, this is really cool. So she goes to them as Moon Girl. And they're just like, hey, you can help us out to make LES the best neighborhood. And she was like, well, LES is already pretty awesome. I don't see why we need to do anything else. And they were just like, well, yeah, the place is cool, but there can always be improvements. And she's like, totally. So she starts supporting them. She does like voice work for them, and she participates in some advertisements, not really considering what it is they're going to do yet again. She's 13. It's like, so it's not occurring to her. And then she notices that the robots that these inventors have put around the city are starting to ticket people all the time. They've passed new city ordinances, so they can't do like graffiti the way they used to. They're trying to cover up the graffiti. They don't want people loitering, like when really they're just like sitting, like playing their instruments and stuff like that. It's established that her neighborhood is not quiet, and these inventors are trying to make it quiet. They're getting rid of... You
know, it's kind of... It's interesting that is one of the themes that they have throughout, because probably been about 10, 15 years now, but when they put cameras on all of the stoplights in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. They still knock those.
They still have them. So if you go through a red light or you're following too closely and they catch it on a camera, you just get a ticket in the mail.
Yeah. And they still, I actually saw a video of a couple days ago. Like, they are still knocking those cameras down, which of course is not going to solve the bigger issue there, but shoot, at least people won't get ticketed as much.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm sure that the city just immediately replaces them.
Yeah, but it takes some time just because it happens so often, and at least they have solidarity in that front.
But it's very big brother, and then the knocking it down, or like feeling like that's not the way technology should be used for our safety.
Right.
A little more of the like What am I thinking? Not antisocial. More like Ooh. Anarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. More yeah. of an anarchy there. Right. Not heavily steeped in it, but reminiscent of it. I understand. Right. Yeah. So, what else? They're also running vendors off the street as well, and they're putting up their own products. I don't feel like it's talked about as much in regards to gentrification. Usually people talk about housing, but when it comes to gentrifiers, like so often, and this is big business and the people who are participating in the process knowingly, they want the area to be quieter. And they don't want the people who exist in that area to sell their own products. Like, so they are much more comfortable with a Starbucks than they are with a business that has been there since 1942. And that's
like the family-owned corner store.
Yeah, the family-owned corner store that has just been passed down. They don't like that as much as they would like. You know, like a Kroger's or something. So that's what they start to do to Lunella's neighborhood. And eventually, Lunella comes across her mother, but she's in the Moon Girl, like, get up, so her mom doesn't know. And her mom is just like, why did you support
Wild,
that?
By the way. Yes. Wild.
Yes! Like, why did you support? And I was like, don't do that. Like, you don't know it's your daughter, but also that is a little girl. Don't do that. Like, how is she supposed to know? But anyway, Lunella decides that she's going to go and confront the investors. And they basically tell her that she has no actual decision-making power. She has no power in general. She should just give up. She shouldn't even fight for it. And, she decides not to do that, thank the Lord. And that's actually through talking to her mom as well. And I was like, you should have treated Moon Girl like this. Because you gave your daughter a complex and didn't even realize it. But Lunella listens to her mom's advice because her mom is telling her your voice does matter. Like, you do influence people the same way I do, the same way the family does and everybody else around here. And because of that, Lunella decides to confront the investors, and the whole neighborhood starts to fight with her, which is very cool.
And I feel like it does make sense too. Like, somebody had written online a few years ago about the theory of superhero kids and how it's more reflective of like mental illness in children, and their superhero selves are just like their imaginary selves, and that is kind of what their mind is telling them. If we see it from that lens of them kind of having this different, not necessarily psychosis, but this different way that they view the world and partake in do-gooding and all of that, it's coming back to a place where her family owns a business in their community that would be at risk for being taken out by something like gentrification of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So you can really see it through that lens of, like, this is a kid struggling with their real life, and this is how we cope with it.
But, yeah.
You know. The big dinosaur.
Anything to be said about that, because the Lower East has gone through gentrification and still in many ways is dealing with it now. They keep circling back. If there's one thing capitalism can never do or it will die off, it's stop. So, like, they continue to try and gentrify these areas that are known for having culture, that are known for having all these things. They take out the culture, and then everybody who's living there is like, well, why am I here? I wanted to experience the culture, even though a lot of them made active efforts to shut the culture down. There is definitely something to be said about that and how it relates to real life kids. Some kids who could be living in the Lower East Side right now. And
right. Yeah.
With this as we speak.
Okay, so the point to moving back into a neighborhood or moving into a neighborhood that has the kind of culture that they have on the Lower East Side is kind of what draws people in and makes them want to stay. But in the end, it ends up pushing all of those kind of institutions around those communities outward, which is not what we want. We want people to be able to stay in their communities, especially if their entire family has been there for so long.
Right. And there's also something to be said, I was looking at my notes, and there's also something to be said about the concept of quiet, because in this episode, we see, like, this long extended fight sequence, and it's, like, it's loud and bombastic, and, like, everyone's featured in it, and you really, like, it's trying to invoke, like, the power of the people. We're all here, we're all together, we're all fighting this. And at some point, the villains like use a piece of technology that makes everything go silent. And I feel like that triggered me.
I can imagine that it would, because it definitely would feel like, oh, cool. So then the institutions and the white people in charge are always who's going to win, because that's like kind of the villain we're depicting here in a way. And like, that's not great. We don't want that. We want the people to be able to speak for themselves.
Right. And like that as well. But like the reason why it kind of triggered me more is because like it reminded me that a lot of the association with quiet, like just the concept of quiet, is that quiet means intelligence, that it means propriety, it means a superiority, it means better. And like noise, like in the context of like a culture, noise is bad. Noise is primitive, noise is obnoxious, noise should not be had. And which is something I'm experiencing to some degree in certain parts of the UK, where like you can be
should be seen and not heard.
Well, I mean, yeah, I didn't relate it to women at all, but I just related to like the culture in general. But
I said children.
Oh, children. Oh, yeah.
Because I was raised with that ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Children should be seen and not heard. And you spare the rod, then you spoil the child. Mm-hmm. It's very 1950s view of the world. It's not a good one.
And then I'm like, being out here in the UK as well, there are some, this is not a generalization of the entirety of the UK, but there are some areas where like if you do a very human thing, which is laugh, some people will look at you like you just disrupted the natural order, even though you're in public.
You just shit your pants. Oh my god, what? Why are you doing that?
Like, there's some, in a lot of places, they will be genuinely offended by noise. And I'm just like, what is that? Like, what is that concept? Like, why do they have that? And I understand that there's like a cultural element to it, but there's also something to be said in the fact that this is oftentimes taking place in majority white areas. And in areas, a lot of areas at which have experienced gentrification. So yeah, I wanted to make that point because it like I found myself thinking about that while watching the episode. I was just like, what does quiet mean to these overlords, and why do they want to enforce it so often? Like every time they go into an area that isn't quiet. Yeah.
And really just kind of like cutting out the voice of the people and not allowing for the noise to be heard.
Yeah.
Because there also has to be, with any kind of legislation, like there are exceptions. There's room for wiggle somewhere.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how our democracy works too. I do like that they're like honoring her in the beginning of it too. Like,
yeah. That too. That was a good scene. That was a good episode. I liked it. So I just wanted to bring that up because in an abstract way, which is what this show really likes to deal with, it was taking a good crack at trying to speak to gentrification and what that can look like, and how people who do this, I will never venture to say that these people don't know what they're doing. There's always like a sense of like, oh, I know I'm taking something away. And that's because I inherently think, well, not inherently, but that's because I believe that our inherent way of living is better. And I also believe that that must be enforced.
So overall takeaway from Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, I know you like it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a third season that's coming, or are we in the second season?
Hasn't been renewed yet. Most Disney shows take a while to renew, so that's not necessarily a sign that it's in the grave as of now. But even if a third season doesn't come, I recommend watch the show. Give it a shot. You'll probably like it. You'll probably like some element of it, even if it's not your favorite. Yeah, that's what I say.
Cool. And my mom of a young girl takeaway is that she can watch it. I may not always watch it with her, but...
Which is actually a good thing.
I can see that it's definitely playing to her need for things to move fast. The phones are used throughout as like they're just part of normal life, which is true for us nowadays. It's just kind of weird, and I may be old at this point, but it's weird for me to see cell phones being used in that way in shows. It also does make it feel much more like a comic book.
Yeah,
so I would say that this is a show that could translate pretty well, whether your son or your daughter or whoever would want to watch this as their form of entertainment. But yeah, it's cute. I like its art style. And yeah, that's on Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Indeed it is. Do you have an idea what we'll be talking about next week?
Ooh, next week is, oh, yes, actually, we have very exciting things to talk about. The holiday of Beltane, or May Day, May 1st. Some celebrate from the 1st to the 3rd. It's really like spring's pop-off day. And we're going to be talking about the gods and goddesses associated with that one when it comes to the northern traditions. So yeah, that's going to be cool. Fun.
Check us next week for that episode. And thank you to whoever has joined us today. I hope you have a great day. Drink water. Remember to do things that make you happy. And
make good choices.
And make good choices. Make good choices. Don't drive under the speed limit. That's rude. Don't do that. What else? Feed the pigeons. They might start following you, but it is what it is. Feed pigeons. No way. And we will check you next week. We'll be back next
Bye.
Week. Bye. Bye.